I'm preaching from Psalm 46. Such a powerful passage. If you got nothing from me, but you read this passage, you'd say, my plate was full. You know, we have two plates, right? One for the meat and one for the bones. My plate was full of meat because of the scripture. And yet there's so much in here. So let me read it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord, again, will you bless this, your word, to our hearts. We thank you for the truth of this. May we be changed by truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's my observation that we live in a fear-promoting society. And it seems to be almost more so. A fear-promoting society. In other words, it's the business of advertisers to stoke our anxieties about what we have and about what we like and what we don't like and our insecurities, all kinds of things. Advertising just does that to us. I was fine till I saw something on TV. Now I want that. Now I want this. It does that to us. And if you don't have the right hair tonic, if you don't have the right shampoo, if you don't have the right, you're inferior somehow. If you don't have the right jeans. And it just plays that over and over again, so pretty soon you feel pretty well inferior. And it's not just a feeling. You are inferior. That's what they've done to us. So the news regularly holds our interest by scaring the life out of us. Stories of violent crime. Natural disasters, threatening weather patterns, environmental hazards. Sleep well. And we say, how can I sleep? It's terrible. It's terrible. Or the one I liked the other day, I heard this. It was out of Seattle, but is your water safe to drink? Details at 11. Is not going to be okay. How do I know whether it's safe to drink? Now I've got to spend 3 hours waiting to see what that report's going to be. That has already scared me. You see, one of the things that define us is what we worry about. You can define yourself by your worries. If you're a worry wart, if you have a lot of anxiety issues, that says something about you, says something about me. And I find that over the years, my anxieties and my fears have changed. They're no less, they're just different. When I was wondering as a teenager if I'd ever have a girlfriend, if I could ever convince anybody to go out with me, if I could have a car, a half-decent car would be nice, and a really cool stereo, that'd be really nice. And so I worried about those things. And I remember thinking, how many of you, I'm not the only person, when you were a teenager, that's what you worried about. And a young adult. And as it changes over the years that you have fears and of different kinds and different proportion, but nevertheless, it hinders us and it often can rule us. So we don't want to be defined, but I don't want to be defined by my fears. So I am Brother Fear, right, where I'm scared of everything because it's unknown or uncertain. There's a place for courage, that's for sure. So life is full of uncertainty, is it not? That's one thing we can go to the bank with, is that there is so much uncertainty. You can't depend or plan on things necessarily because you have no control over them, including the weather. So when we face these uncertainties and these random catastrophes, you know, where we hear about this thing or read about that, I was reading about, for example, I was over at our study this morning, I was telling about the CNN report about this guy. He died, and they put him in a body bag, and they took, and the coroner did the test they do, pronounced him dead, and closed him up, and they were just going to do one more thing before they, you know, embalmed him, and the bag started to move. He's in the bag, and he's alive. And they tell that story. Well, it doesn't have the effect you think it's going to have. It's not that you say, oh, that poor guy, I'm sure glad he got out of that bag. And we talk about cutting it to the edge there. You know, excuse me. And you're in that body bag. But what made me think about, wouldn't that be horrible to be in the bag? And they're trying to get people. And so it just triggers off another emotion. Death by funeral bag. Take note of that. And so I said, that's how fears start. And that's how they're perpetuated, by stories like this. And your whole life can be one of nervousness. You know, with extra locks on the door and doing this and doing that to protect yourself. And then you get in your car and you hear the airbags just dislodge a little prematurely. And, you know, you say, well, I wonder if mine. Maybe they didn't check mine. They probably checked the others, but didn't check my car to see what. And on it goes and on it goes and on it goes. But there they are, these random catastrophes. And so it's very easy to justify almost any anxiety, right? It's just very simple to do that. So once we understand that we live in a fear-producing society, a fear-promoting society, then we can conclude some things that I think are quite helpful. One is, and you got to get this right, problems are here to stay. Your problems are here to stay. My problems are here to stay. We're still looking for the guy who says, if you just come to Jesus, you won't have any more problems. It'd be really wonderful. Just come, just turn your heart over to Jesus. It would be great. Well, we turned our hearts over to Jesus, and I've got more problems now than I had even then. It wasn't accurate. When you come to Christ, your problems aren't taken away. Right? They're not taken away. You still have to worry. You still have to be concerned about that mortgage. You have to be concerned about your children's welfare if they're going through something, right? That's one thing. But we need, and I need, and you need, a strategic plan on how to deal, if these things are here forever, if there's one thing, you know, one month it's this, another month it's something else, we need a strategic plan to guide us through life's problems and setbacks and reversals and the sudden anxieties that do come upon us. And the scriptures, again, I don't know about you, but you can't see my Bible, but it's all marked up in yellow and orange and black ink because this meant something to me. When I read that, I needed that word, a living word, right? A living word. And I'm going to talk about that in a few moments, but I can camp on that. When somebody says, have you got a verse for me? I'm just really full of anxiety. I don't have to guess. I know where to turn. I know that Psalm 46 is waiting there for me. Say, use me. This is the truth. This is the word of the Lord for you in this situation. And it's very beautiful. So let's talk about the remedy for stress. Because the title I've called this is What to Do When Your Stresses are greater than your strengths, and you feel overwhelmed. And it's not hard to get overwhelmed. It's very easy. Just have to have a few things happen, and you find yourself anxious where you may not have been. I see, for myself, by nature, I'm not a nervous person. Not by nature. Matter of fact, my mother used to say to me, she says, you know, I worry about you. If you fell off a skyscraper, 64 feet high, she said, halfway down, you'd be saying, well, so far, so good. It doesn't seem to be any problems here. Just before you hit the ground. So she worried about me. I'm not sure why entirely, but she did. And I'm not naturally nervous. I'm not naturally fearful, as I know some people that are. But I find that the enemy can often come and attack me. and bring something that I find and say, well, there's a spirit of fear. I didn't even recognize it for what it was. I just felt, just as if there was danger or something. And there really, well, I think it was just a spirit of fear, which I might touch on in a little bit here. So, chapter 46, verse 10. Here is the magicness of this thing. Be still. Wow. You know, it's not easy to be still when you're up to your neck in alligators, but you know that God has sent you in to drain the swamp. In other words, you know you're in the will of God. You know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're at the right job. You're with the right woman. Your kids are the way they are. You know that, but you know that there are problems and anxieties. So you have to calm yourself. How many times, I wonder, as the elders or even different ones in the church here, you've prayed for people, and the very first thing, what did we do? Without exception, we said, and now, Lord, grant them peace. Didn't we? Isn't that what happened? Why? Because we knew that the events would be the events anyway, but if they had the peace of the Lord, they would really have something in abundance. So we must calm ourselves. And the reason we must calm ourselves is that we will be the harried and worried ones ourselves. It's contagious that way. If you're around a worry wart, you're going to be worrisome. It just has that effect, the negativity of it. So we calm ourselves, I suspect, in the presence of the Lord, where I said, Lord, just grant me your peace. I speak your peace over my own. How many have prayed over themselves? Yeah, we prayed over ourselves that God would, that we'd be able to cast all our care upon him. So calm yourself. And I think the Lord probably gives us a 15-minute window, right? In other words, he says, this has frightened you, this has scared you, this is bad news. We're not, the Lord says, I understand that, but you've got 15 minutes, and then you have to turn this into praise. Right? You must turn this into praise. I just make it up the number, but I'll give you 15 minutes. All right, so cry, yell, scream, say it's not fair, blame somebody else, and then we'll talk. And so be still, don't panic. And the reason we mustn't be panic is because we have to be, we're up to bat next. I mean, how can I minister to somebody if my fears are controlling me? We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem, where I'm falling apart, right? And fearful and overwhelmed and wanting to know someone to help me, and oh, I'm really upset, this is terrible. Now, again, we're allowed some time, because the Lord is the Lord. But at some point, if I'm going to be effective and not panic, I need to calm myself. And of course, verse 10 gives us a hint. And know, be still and know. It's what you know. We know that I am God. You see, well, I'll come back to that. I will come back to that. Know that I'm God. That God's working in your life. And that things are working out the way they're supposed to work out. And I'm trusting him. And I know that he's God. And as we had in the first service, some of them were sharing from the balcony that they said, Lord, you have never failed me ever. Why would you fail me now? I know that you were God. You never failed me. And can't we say, for years and years and years and years, thousands of prayers I cried in different situations, whether my car was skidding down the upper levels or whether because the ice or whether some situation happened or somebody goes crazy in the church. You know, all these things, these prayers, I said, Lord, you have never failed. So I go back on that and know that he is God. Why would he fail now? Why would he desert me now when he never deserted me before? He was there. And know that I am God. And then he says, know that God, verse 1, what a wonderful, powerful passage this is. Know that God is our refuge. Actually, there's two things here. One is refuge, and one is strength. One is a hiding place, a refuge, and one is more attacking, more positive, I would suspect. God is our refuge and strength. Have you thanked him for that today? I thanked him because I was speaking on this, but I thanked him this morning as I walked over here. And I said, Lord, thank you that you're my strength, my refuge and my strength today. You are my hiding place. right? He is your hiding place. And you must appropriate that and draw it to yourself and claim that, knowing that God is in this and we trust him explicitly. And then to know, verse 1, that he is a very present help. Present help. Huh. Verse 1. Not yesterday's help, not tomorrow's help, not someday, today. God is always in the moment. So he's current. He knows your fears. He knows what you're like. He knows what you're facing, what you're feeling. And I find it extremely comforting and satisfying in so many ways in times of trouble. All of God's children got trouble. Just a matter of time. Today, Lord, as far as I know, I'm having a great day. Day's not over. I don't know what I might have. I might go out and find that someone backed into my car. And it might be worse that I might know it was you. Or if I backed into your car. Say, you know, I was having such a great day. And then some idiot from the church backed into my car. You know, you can't trust anybody. And all of a sudden, your day is different. Right? Or you go to the doctor and you find that there's something that he said, we ought to take a better look at that. Oh, I didn't need to hear that. I didn't need to hear that we better take a look at that. But yet that's what they say, right? And so you don't have time on these things. You're not going to say, well, you got five. You say, no, we want you down here and get this checked out. And we say, wow, Lord, today, I need you as my present help to watch over me and to guide me and direct me. And which he's quite prepared to do, I suspect that. I find him saying, I'm glad you've come. But by faith, we have to believe that he cares. By faith, we must believe that he's present. By faith, we must believe in the promises of God. Without the promises of God, you have no strength. You have no weapons. The more you know of Scripture, don't you like being with, Crystal was here in the first service, Crystal Corth, and there's a lady who knows how to pray, I'll tell you. Because she prays so much Scripture, I find it comforting. I just find it comforting because she knows the Word of the Lord. And, you know you're in a bit of trouble. So you have somebody else to pray, and they say, well, now I lay me down to sleep. No, it's not what I was hoping they were going to pray. I was hoping they were going to pray the Word of God. I've had I've had hundreds of people pray for me, and I'm glad when they're praying Scripture. See, that's what you can do. That's what I can do. We can pray Scripture. And when you learn a verse, it's very sustaining and very powerful. So verse 4, know that there is a river. I'm not sure if I entirely know why that picture is there, because there is no river in Jerusalem that I know. I didn't see a river. And yet he said, there's a river, and it's the joy of it. Is that God's in the midst of it. I think that the river is the presence of God. I think that's probably, it's the presence of God. And so we've got this river available to us that we can, verse 4, that we can rely on and make glad the city of God. Whatever this does, God rejoices in it, and so we'll rejoice in it too. And it ends up in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. There's a river available that we can, as it were, bathe in and be revived in and be. And sometimes when a person goes through a lot of things that are negative and hurtful and scary, when that happens, it often there is a place to pray the presence of God over them. Say, Lord, say, Holy Spirit, just come and bless them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. And and that person will say, you know, I just felt, it wasn't just that you took away my fears, but there was something added to me. I don't feel the anxiety that I felt before I came for prayer. So that's David's formula for trusting God. Here's how it works. Therefore, verse 2, we, because of that information, we will not fear. Have you made that resolve today? That whatever difficult thing, setback, issue you have to resolve, people you have to meet with and work that issue out, a hundred other things could be. As you look at your life, is there anything that would, you say, I've got a lot of fear in my life? I would encourage you to come to the front here today And we can't possibly counsel you, but we can pray for you. And if you're here, you say, you know, I'm just overwhelmed. Since that event happened, I'm overwhelmed with anxiety. And we'd be honored to pray with you. So you'd be able to say, I will not fear. We should all get together on this. We're just coughing and slurping at the same time. It's perfect. Perfect world. Therefore, I will not fear. Verse 2. That's what you have to do. You get a hold of it. You lay hold of that. Say, I will not fear. Devil, I'm announcing it. Lord, I'm announcing it. I will not fear because the Lord is with me. And if the Lord is with us, right? If the Lord is with us, you can go through anything. We will not fear. I just included some verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, I just flipped my Bible over one page. One page to chapter 47. Listen to this, verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Jubilate, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises, and I wrote, jubilate, jubilate. You proclaim, you rejoice. So rejoice in the Lord always. You might be in your kitchen or in your basement, and you're walking back and forth. You say, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm rejoicing in you, Lord, in your goodness and your kindness. You'll watch over me. You'll care for me. Christ before, Christ behind, Christ on either side, Christ above and Christ below. Lord, I'm rejoicing in you. I'm jubilating. I'm full of praise. And we say, listen to it. Just listen to the sound of it. It's the same problems that other people have, right? We're not different. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're not exempt because we're believers. The difference is the presence of God, is the comfort of the Lord, the strength of God, and all that he can do. Therefore, we will not fear, but we will rejoice. And I thought, imagine six or five times in one verse there, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And again, he says, why? And then he talks in Philippians 4. I won't take time for that, but he talks about being anxious for nothing. Then I'm thinking of Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Wow, what's that like? Well, I've been around people. I said, you don't seem so nervous. You don't seem so... I said, well, I was. And I finally just laid it on the Lord. I just laid it on the Lord. I couldn't take it. It was too big. It was too heavy. It's too discouraging. I laid it on the Lord. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Is that not the best news? That'd be better than money, wouldn't it? That'd be better than anything. Keep him in perfect peace. Whether it's that job that's causing you anxiety or that person at work that's causing you anxiety or that situation, whatever it would be, we have this thing that God will keep me in perfect peace if I trust in him. It's because he trusts in you. And I thought, yes, I want to do that. I want to see, as a person of faith, we believe the Lord, even if we don't see with our eyes how this is going to work out. We don't hear with our ears how it's going to work out. All we know is that we serve a God that loves us and cares for us and who will go before us. And many times I find that I need, this is why you must be part of the body of Christ. You must be part of the services. I must be. Why? Because when we come together, these things are addressed over and over and over and over again. They're addressed. A prayer for people, messages that are geared for people. Sometimes you say, well, I'm a Christian, but I can't seem to gain the victory. And I understand that. And what you need to do is to have some of God's wonderful people pray for you. We have an access. This doesn't happen elsewhere. It's when there is something about the church and people who come, they're part of it. And they know that when that family trouble came, I don't have to go down the street. There's people that would pray right here. And not just pray right here, but would stay with it and track with it. And next week they're saying, how is that going? I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. Folks, this is gold, this stuff. And if you don't have, if you're just a, you know, just a lonely person crashing through life, where you know you drop in this church, you drop in that church, maybe once in a while over here and over there, but you're not part of the functioning body, where there is strength, where people will carry my load. Oh, I've had that all my life. People who took an interest and would you mind if I prayed with you? Oh, I'm so grateful for that. So thankful for that. People that will track with you and walk with you, but they're part of a church. Right? There's no this idea of that is Jesus and myself, and we have this little thing going on, and I can, you know, and we do the thing at the beach. I worship Jesus at the beach. And you know, and then when life comes, they're not connected. They looking for somebody on the beach, maybe, I don't know. But you know, you hear that, well, I'm really close to the Lord on the, I'm a Christian, but I'm really close to the Lord on the nature trail. Well, there's a place for looking at nature, and there's a place for being at the beach, but it's not, there's a power that comes from a local body that hopefully has stayed on the Lord as well. That when you come and say, this is what I need today, and somebody puts their arm around you, if that's appropriate, and somebody else prays, and somebody else says, listen, why don't we go for coffee, and we'll go talk about this, and by the way, maybe I'll check on some of my friends, and they might have a job that you could look into, and all of a sudden, this care is coming, and this, and your fears start to drop, because I'm not alone. That's the worst part of these things. I'm all alone. At least it feels like I'm all alone, and I need others. Now, you don't want to become one giant siphon, you know, where you suck the life right out of the place in two visits. You know, just everything gets sucked in. In other words, you need at certain points after you get blessed and strengthened, you need to be able to do that to somebody else who comes in the door. So all of a sudden, you know, I came with a need, but I'm now blessing and praying for people and ministering to people. It's very, I see this is God's plan, and when you lay hold of this stuff, it's really marvelous how it works. That I can say, see, if I have the Lord, and if I have some Christian friends who know God and how to lay hold of God, I can handle anything. You can handle anything. Anything that comes your way, because you've got the right ingredients. You've got a God who has miraculous powers and who loves you, and you've got people who will track with you and visit with you, and in some cases take you to the hospital if necessary. They'll go out of their way. They'll make a meal for you. They'll do something, right? Because this is how it works. It's not just a one-time thing. It's that we're part of something bigger, and I think this is one of the strategies of David that will help us with our fears, and to be helping, and this therefore we can keep in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on him. Isaiah 26, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I know somebody that met somebody at our church here, and they said, you know what you need? You need to be able to, you need the word of the Lord. So they took a verse, took a Xerox copy, and they cut it out and said, now, every time you feel anxious, we want you to read this verse. It's God's word. You know the Lord? Yeah, you know the Lord. Okay, this is God's word, and I want you to read this every single time, middle of the night, anytime. You know, that was powerful to that person. For that moment, they just brought that verse out and said, and it was a comfort to their heart. And I thought, that's good. That's so encouraging. We're not alone in this thing whatsoever. Let me suggest some more things. That we confess our need. When I said, have you prayed about it? It's amazing what people haven't prayed about. You're losing your job tomorrow. Have you prayed about it? Not yet. I think you better pray about it. It's again a resource that we have. We confess our need. Lord, I'm my heart is heavy today. Oh God, be my lifter of my head. Be thou my strength today. I'm confessing my need. I need you, Lord. I need your presence. I need your peace. I need your power. So we confess. And then after we've confessed our need, we confess his strength. That God is we the God of Jacob is with us, and we confess, Lord, I'm weak, and I'm not handling this very well, and so Lord, I ask for you to come near to me, put your arms around me, see me through, give me wisdom for what to do in the days ahead. You know, when you find out that your husband has left you or your wife has left you, hugely devastating. When you find out that your kids are in trouble with the law, man. You see, what do you do? Well, I know you go to the rock that's higher than you. Amen. Right? Where your stresses are greater than your strengths. And then if you find that a bit heavy, there are somebody else who will come along and they'll lift that other and say, you keep going, I'll lift this end of it. And to care about you. So we confess his strength. And then we thank him for the answer. At the end of it, no, not at the end, in the beginning, right now. Whatever you're facing right now, in this part of your life, begin to thank him. Thank you for being with me. Thank you, this is going to turn around. I don't know how it's going to, but I am looking to you, Lord. And Lord, I would pray and hope that you would do this and this. But if not, if you've got a better plan, then I yield to you. I'm turning this over to you. I'm thanking you. But you say you haven't seen the answer. No, people might think we're a little odd thanking God for something we haven't seen. We haven't seen that job yet. We haven't seen that relationship get healed yet. But we are praying and we are trusting God that we will be able to see his hand. But we praise him in advance. You never wait until you see the answer. Just start thanking him. Just start blessing him until there's the sound of triumph in the tent, as it were. Instead of the sound of defeat and discouragement, but the sound of blessing the Lord and praising the Lord. And if it seems a little foreign to you, you'll get used to it. It's a great thing. Oh, I'm so thankful for these things. I'm so glad that somebody taught me, said, oh, and by the way, the old-timers used to always do this. They'd say, Brother Owen, have you prayed through? Because you don't want to sound ignorant, right? Oh, no, yeah. I'm pretty sure. What is that? I know what that is now, and I know how to pray through. See, it's praying through as you pray until you sense the victory. It doesn't have to be long. I've been in a group where we just began to praise the Lord and thank him, and we prayed through. We said, "Don't need to pray anymore. We just felt it. We pressed in, right?" And they would say that, you know, if they weren't saying, "Have you prayed through?" Because they knew about that. But if we also said, "Brother, do you have the victory?" That was along the same line. And I always, I think maybe hope, because they're so dirty. They know that's the answer. And they'll be looking right at you and say, "Brother, get the victory. It's in Christ. It's in praise. It's in worship. Pray through. Rejoice in." Until you say, "I don't need to pray anymore today. I have gained the upper hand. I have prayed through, you know, through the mountain, through that problem, blessing the Lord, thanking the Lord. Lord, if I live or die, I am yours. I don't care. All I know, I want you glorified in my life." And there's victory. It's powerful. That's what you do when your stresses are greater than your strengths. "To you, O Lord, I cry." It can be quite pathetic to see somebody crying on before the Lord, but you know something good is going to come out of it. Most of us are afraid to show. In the scriptures, David and others are always crying out. It's a strategy. It's a warfare thing. We cry out. We don't just, "Yes, and be with us and watch over the children." No. Where is that prayer? Where is that prayer that touches the heart and mind of God? That's what I must do. That's what you must do. And every time, I can testify to this. Every time, if I've been allowed to, if there's this maybe moment where I can pray about this particular thing, then to say, "I don't know how else to pray, but I believe we touched heaven. We touched heaven. The presence of God. The river that was there for us to approach." Then lastly, to claim peace in your heart. Say, "Lord, I claim your peace. And I thank you and bless you for the peace of God which rules my life." And I put a little word here, remember. You need to remember this. there has never been anything in your heart that wasn't first in your head. Let me say that again. There has never been anything in your heart where your emotions are, right? That wasn't first in your head. That's just true. Larry Crabb, the psychologist, Christian psychologist, used to say that the Greek word, apparently the Greek word for mind is nous, N-O-U-S, nous. And he would say this, or write this. He would say, now remember to fill your nous with biblical truths. It rhymes, in case you wonder what I was doing with that. And I thought, yes, that is the secret. In other words, are you believing the promises of God? The promises of God. They're available for us. And as we begin to draw upon those promises, and we claim them and we proclaim them, it's a wonderful thing in every way. To you, O Lord, I cry. To you, O Lord, I cry. Knowing that you will sustain me, and it's wonderful. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Before we end our service, I'm going to invite, just so you, in case you feel you need to be here. If you're here and you've just been overwhelmed with life and with situations, and you would like somebody to come and pray with you, we're not going to pry, we're not going to counsel, we're just going to pray with you that you would be deeply touched by God. And you'd walk out, if you've come with a heavy heart, you'll go home with 12 baskets full. Right? That if you've come with a sense of hopelessness, that you'll go from here with a wonderful sense of peace. Say, I don't know what happened there, but when they prayed for me, I just felt so much better. And I'm not just talking about feel good. I mean really phenomenal, concrete things in your life. But the team is going to play a song first. That's good, yeah. I maintain that any given day, any Sunday that we ever meet, there's scores and scores and scores of people who have things going on that want to surrender to the Lord. So just as you're standing here, say bless you in Jesus' name, bless you here. And as Marcel leads us, I want you to cast this on the Lord. Call on him while Marcel is leading us. Surrender so that when you walk, you say, I know one thing. I know I gave it to the Lord. I couldn't control it. It's bigger than me, more complex than I can handle. But I gave it to God on a Sunday morning at Valley Church. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Marcel. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
Father, today, thinking of your disciples when they were worried, and they were wondering what they were going to do because you might believe in them. And they were scared and they were concerned. And one of the things you said to them is that in this world, we're going to have troubles.
Yeah.
And we acknowledge that there's troubles, as Owen had said, and the Bible says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and we get that. But Lord, the next thing you said was that take heart, because I have overcome the world. Mm. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have overcome the world. And God, I know that we face troubles today, and tomorrow we're going to face troubles, and maybe a year down the road we're going to face troubles. We acknowledge that, Lord Jesus. But the same way we acknowledge that there's troubles, we acknowledge that you have overcome this world, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And Father, that in you there is peace. Father, that in you, Lord Jesus, there is hope, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And Father, this morning as we stand here, God, you said to cast all of your cares on you. You care for us.
Yes.
And you are able to do exceedingly more than we could begin to even ask or think, you say. And so, God, in faith, we just take all those things, Lord Jesus, that have been holding us down. God, those things that we have been worrying about, those things that have been even causing health issues, causing sleepless nights, causing worry and drain in relationships. God, we take those and we cast them on you, Lord Jesus.
Bless you, God.
Father, we cast our cares on you. God, what an amazing thing. In exchange for our cares that we cast on you, you give us peace.
Yes.
What an amazing exchange. Yeah. And God, so as we cast our cares, we're going to receive from you the peace of God into our lives, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, God. And Lord, we know that this is not a one-time thing. This will be a thing as our lives, as we walk through this life, that we will continue to have to cast our cares on you and continue to receive the peace of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that for some of us that this would just be a start of a lifelong journey of receiving your peace, of receiving your peace, and casting our cares and casting our cares.
Yeah.
And help us, Lord, to learn to do that well. And God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we do, we'll be agents for you, for others, God. Mm. We'll be able to help others to experience the peace that only Christ can bring.
Yes.
So, Lord, I pray for those that are just standing here, even right now, God. I pray that even now they would experience the peace of Christ.
Yes.
Lord, I pray they would experience the refreshing that the river brings, Lord.
Yes.
God, I remember being in places in camp when it was hot and dry, and maybe you've worked hard, and that experience of jumping into the river, of that refreshing experience of the cold, wet, clean river flowing over you. And so, God, I pray for these people that are here today that they would experience the fresh, clean, cool, refreshing river of God, Lord, even now. Holy Spirit, I pray that they would just have a touch from you, Lord, even now. Knowing that you are the God of the universe, the God that can take and able to carry our load, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that you are stronger than we can imagine. You are larger, Lord, than we could even conceive. You are able to take these. You are able to take our problems, our worries, our cares and concerns, Lord. And we do that now. We just cast them on you.
Yes.
In exchange, take your peace. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I hope that we hear of testimonies down the road a ways. And you say, you know, I really had a breakthrough on that thing with the mortgage. I really had a real different situation faced when I gave that business over to the Lord, or whatever it would be. We don't do this just for exercise. We do it because we believe that God loves us and cares for us and wants to. He is the present help in time of trouble. And he'll be tomorrow and the next day and the next day. God will not fail you. He will not fail me. He cannot fail. He's God. The God of Jacob is with us. That's what the word says. Amen. So go in that peace. And give somebody a hug if you, not a handshake because we've got too many colds going around, but just give them a hug. Bless you. Thank you for being here. Join us on the patio.